March 5th, public meeting of Board of Garrett County Commissioners. I want to welcome everybody. Thanks for coming out. If everyone please stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Pearl, Bowers, your heads with you, please.
Lord God, we have much to give you thanks for, including the nice weather again today, this day of meeting. We thank you for your provision. Thank you for the promise of spring. Thank you for the excitement of playoff sports and the seasons that change. And thank you, Father, for these men and for the role that they serve. We ask your blessing on the meeting, for them to have unity and wisdom as they seek to be a blessing to others. All these things we ask also for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Pearl, I'd like to thank you for making a point to come out and help us off.
Thank you.
All right, before we go any further, I do want to announce that during our administrative session, we did vote to go into closed session to consider a matter that concerns a proposal for a business or industrial organization to locate, expand, or remain in the state, which is one of the 14 reasons you may close a meeting. So that did happen just a little while ago. Mr. Nall, are there any additions, corrections, or deletions of the public agenda?
No, sir, there are not.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the public agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. The public meeting agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, questions, corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
A motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Minutes are approved by mutual consent. Okay, first item on the public agenda, Garrett County Purchasing Department. Charlie, what do you got for us?
I have a recommendation to reject a bid for the Weir Flowway Vertical Turbine Pump, bid number 18-0104P. It was advertised for 2 weeks through Republican. Bids were due on Thursday, January 11th, 2018. Bid packs were requested by seven bid services. Only one reply was received. The bid tab was attached for your reference. After reviewing the bids for compliance with administrative requirements and based on feedback from Public Works Utility Division, recommendation is to reject the bid. The bid for the project was over our allocation of roughly $27K.
Questions for Charlie?
Maybe for Pat. Is this something you have to have, or are we going to have to? I mean, do we need to increase the budget for it? Or I mean, I read the description, but I don't know what that means.
It's something we would like to replace. It's not something that's dire at this point. We have two currently operating. This would be a third in the redundant system. When we get into the busy season, in the summertime, handling all of our sludge and trying to run the centrifuge, we do need more water, and it's good to have a backup. It's something that we will likely rebid in a little bit different fashion to try to get more competition in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? All right, hearing nothing, do I have a motion to reject bid number 18-0104P?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Any question on motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, so that bid is rejected.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. All right, next up, Garrett County Department of Planning and Land Management, GIS Division, JB.
All right, so we've got a resolution here to change a short section of Cemetery Road in Accident. This was requested by the town of Accident to change just a short piece of Cemetery Road. There's no addressed structures on there currently. It's just the short piece from 219 or North Main Street to North South Street. The rest of Cemetery Road will continue to exist as Cemetery Road.
And this was a request by the town?
Yeah.
Questions for JB? Motion to approve the road name resolution from Cemetery Road to North South Street Cemetery Road.
So moved.
Second?
Second. You said there's nobody lives there, won't change anybody's address.
Correct.
Okay, second.
Motion and second, question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, sir. All right, we do have a couple of announcements. Actually, several announcements. One, as you guys are aware, since we've been Board of Commissioners, we've tried to be more accessible to our constituents. To that end, we've moved our meetings around the county. We just talked about where we're going to do that this year, and the communities we'll be visiting. No date set yet as things filter through, but we're going to go to Crellin, Swanton, Bloomington, Grantsville, and McHenry, and there may be another one added in there at some point. So that'll get us throughout the county again, closer to the people. I do want to announce that there's been much talk and questions about Economic Development Director. We had, I think we talked about this before, we had 21 applications that came in. Interviews will begin on Thursday this week. There are three interviews scheduled that will begin on Thursday.
By the committee?
By the committee. And I think we're pretty excited about the prospects, so that's exciting. I also want to announce, and there'll be a press release on this coming out soon, but there's been some talk with the opioid epidemic. Some counties throughout the country, but in particular in Maryland and Allegheny County, just joined a lawsuit with a firm to go after the pharmaceutical companies. Garrett County is now joining with Montgomery County and partnering with Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd LLP, a national law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., in litigation seeking compensation for the damage caused by the production and distribution of opioids. I think ultimately you'll probably see every county in the state go this route. And probably at the end of the day, most of the counties in the country. But this is, after speaking with our legal counsel, this is the route that we wanted to go, and there'll be more information coming in the press release, but that we are going to pursue this and see what happens. The March 20th meeting, which is scheduled to be here, it's our next public meeting, that's probably going to be changed. We'll get an announcement out as soon as we can. We'll see what happens with that. And the Board of Ed was going to present their budget that night. We actually reached out to them to try to get that shifted. Reason being, I've been nominated to serve on the Governor's Task Force for Outdoor Recreation. The first meeting of that task force is that evening, and if I'm going to participate, I'll be there in the organizational meeting, so that would mean I'm not going to be here for this. And because of the budget presentation and everything else, we felt it important for all of us to be here. We've not had a meeting yet as a board where we didn't have full attendance, and we didn't want to break that tradition. So we'll keep everyone posted on that as far as whether there'll be a meeting on the 20th or not, when it might change. Right now we're looking at the 22nd. The county-funded agencies outside of the Board of Education have been invited to present on April the 2nd at 5 o'clock. And then the county department's budget presentation would be April the 17th at 5 o'clock. And those would be public presentations by those agencies that we fund to come in and go over their budget. Having said all of that, we've now come to the time in the public meeting agenda for public comment and question. Do we have any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you. I feel like I'm speed dating. You guys are, might set the record for the fastest county commissioner meeting.
We
tried it. We've already
got it. Oh, you got that?
It was previous meeting.
Oh. No chance now. Well, I won't take my time, you know. But just thank you for a few minutes of your time. The reason that I wanted to talk to you today was regarding some information that you all had received last week with respect to the Oakland Bypass project. Just by way of background, of course, you all know my professional background. I'm also a member of the town's planning commission. I'm not here in that capacity, but with my professional background and with my concern for the issue because of that position, I do want to share with you some personal observations I made about the data and information that you were presented with last week. Before I do that, I was trying to think, what's rather than getting out in the weeds and talking about data, what is a good way to kind of describe a problem with some of the data that was presented to you? And I thought this might be a good way to do it. You invite people to a party. You have a party, and you greet them at the door, and you greet 32 people at the door. Okay? Then during the party, you walk around your house, and you see 15 people in the living room. You see 7 in the dining room, 3 in the kitchen, 4 in the den. And when folks leave the party, you count 30 people leaving. How many people came to your party?
You said you counted 32. Right?
32. Let's just say around 32. Well, if you added up all your counts, you'd get 91. But you don't tell everybody it was 91 people at my party. There was 32. About 32. I'm sorry. Shut this down. Well, the three arguments that were presented to you last week, I apologize for this, for you to delete the project from the transportation priority list, boiled down to three main reasons. And the first had to do with that, the thing about traffic volume. Some of the information I'm going to share with you is readily available on the internet. The information we shared with you last week has been widely circulated on websites and on social media and what have you. But the main thrust of the argument is that total of 54,672 vehicles from 5 locations are entering and exiting Oakland. Well, that's a statistical fallacy because you can't take data collected at 5 locations along Route 219, mash them together and say, that's the traffic volume for Oakland. There's 10 ways to get in and out of Oakland. There's 10 streets to get in and out. There's never been a comprehensive study that I know of. It'd probably be almost impossible to do, to count the daily vehicle count in Oakland. The other thing is, if you look at the data that was provided to you, there were some errors in it, both in terms of locations and the data points. And in one case, at the location of 3rd and Alder, the available data actually shows an increase of vehicle traffic at this location right out of here by the courthouse of 5% since 2007. We're presented with a mashup of data, and then the mashup of data from another date, and there's a difference, and someone says, well, traffic has gone down in volume in Oakland. Well, it's a fallacy. So I'd like you to keep that in mind, as I know it's a difficult issue. I know there's a lot of emotion on both sides of that issue, but at the end, it's got to be some stats. The other thing to share with you is, and it's related to that, as I mentioned earlier, it's the second leg of the stool to delete the project, is that truck traffic only represents a minuscule small amount of the volume of traffic in Oakland. Well, if you take and mash up all that data that's available and call that volume count, and then you take discrete truck data points and compare it to it, you're going to get around 1%. But in reality, if you actually look at SH chart there, which is, and there's actually a source for it, it actually shows that some of those data points doesn't even have truck traffic counts on it. So already it's limited by the available data. However, if you take, again, Third and Alder, which is the location that's most adjacent to the downtown business district, which is the area that's in most need of revitalization, attention, and imply that truck and vehicle traffic is decreasing at that location, therefore we need to increase the traffic going to it, and we need to saturate it with traffic, you'll find actually that 5.36, almost five times as much as is alleged, five times the traffic, approximately 600 trucks per day. So we have around 11,400 vehicles a day going through that location. It's gone up 5%, and 5.36% is actually trucks. But you were led to believe that other things were going on, and I think it's important because that was put on your record for your meeting, that this information be brought to your attention. The third leg of the stool justifying the deletion of the project is an allegation that the United States Department of Transportation had a study. And that study declared that the bypass would be detrimental to sales in Oakland. But if you go to the link that's been provided on the internet and social media and actually look at that study, you'll find that it actually appeared in an online journal that the U.S. Department of Transportation maintains, but the U.S. Department of Transportation also has a disclaimer that it doesn't, that the views in the articles don't represent, the views of the authors don't represent the views of the agency. And that the proper citation is required whenever that data is shared. Well, that wasn't done for you. So if you go and actually look at this study, what you'll find is that it's an obscure study that was done by two researchers in Texas. And they examined over 40 cities, mind you, in Texas, with populations up to 50,000 people. And the cities that they studied weren't like Oakland. So it's been represented to you, it's been represented on the internet and social media, that the U.S. Department of Transportation has said that bypasses are terrible, bypasses are bad, and that's another reason for you to delete that project. But when you dig into the facts, you find out it's not a U.S. Department of Transportation study. What I do want to leave with you, and this is actual information from the State Highway Administration, and of course, the State Highway Administration is not involved in this public discussion because they haven't been invited. So we have, you know, timing being what it is, we have to rely on what we can glean from them from some prior documentation that they have on the project. But if you look back in 2013, they actually found that daily traffic usage was anywhere from 7,600 to 17,550 vehicles per day on Route 219 as existed then. So the 11,400 figure at Third and Alder is within that range. It's consistent with the data points that are found. But what's interesting is that they're projecting. Now these guys, they're professional traffic engineers, they're professional traffic planners. If their data is in question, we don't argue that data with alternative facts. We sit down with them and we say, how did you come up with that? And how did you make those projections? And we inform ourselves. But that hasn't been done by the folks I talked to you last week. But if you look at their projection for 2030, you'll notice that there's actually even going to be an increase in traffic through town despite the bypass. So they're looking at an increase in traffic. The bypass basically removes the projected increase, but still provides for existing traffic levels in town for folks who are, going to use their businesses and visit and enjoy the town and what have you. But that's all I wanted to share with you for your consideration. Don't expect a response from you. Wouldn't want that. But I did want that information on the public record in response to information that was given to you on the public record last week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for providing this, first of all. And are you going to share this with Jim and Renee then, too? Or?
What's that? I can give them copies if they want.
Yeah. But you had an email earlier, I think, that did a really good job of putting all this together.
I wanted to do it in a public session. Some of the stuff, and it's difficult. It's difficult to talk about this in a community. Especially when friends make, you make mistakes and all that, but the issue has become so emotional that we're tending to lose track of what the facts are. We're tending to ignore what the State Highway Administration has told us for years, what we have to look forward to in 10, 20, 30 years. And that's important. And they're the professionals. And if anybody doubts their work, which is, and you sit down with them and you find out how they did that, and not come up with a statistical method that you can look at and go, just like the party analogy, just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we close the office,
just a sec, hang on a sec.
Okay. Before we close.
Okay, well, I can do it right now.
Jerry, question?
Hold on one second.
That's fine.
I also want to read into the public record. In compliance with the Maryland Open Meetings Act under Section 3-306C, the record of the executive session for February 20, 2018 is hereby documented on this date, the next open public meeting for the Board of County Commissioners. The Board of County Commissioners, on a motion by Commissioner Heimbaugh, which was seconded by Commissioner Titchell, and made unanimous by Commissioner Edwards, moved into executive session under Section 3-305B of the Maryland Open Meetings Law on this date at 4:58 p.m. to address personnel matters. The same motion ended the executive session at 5:22 p.m. There will be no public disclosure to topics discussed at this time. That's just a formality. Since we went into exec last meeting to talk about personnel, and you got to follow up with that. Jerry, you had a...
On that same note, I brought up at the last meeting, it's not just Oakland here, in my opinion. This involves that industrial park out to the east of Oakland. I think it was 10 or 15 years ago, we had a fellow come to one of these meetings on the bypass was being discussed then, and he mentioned about his business being out there. And about how his increased truck traffic was going to have to go somewhere if his business failed. When you're building this type of infrastructure, you can't wait for someone who wants to develop a business and then say, well, wait a minute, we'll get the infrastructure in there one of these days. This stuff has to be in place in order for those things to work correctly. And you can see some of that with what's sitting out there at Bosch and Lund right now. We've never been able to get anything comparable to what that was, partly because Bosch and Lund was such a unique industry. You can take a whole week's production, put it in one tractor trailer, and go down the road, and they made money. Sunglasses. But when a guy comes into that industrial park or any place out in that area where you have an industrial park, I've been there a long time, and he says, well, how do I get my product to the interstate? You either got to take it down through Swanton and up 495, or he's got to go the other route. This is just a small piece of the puzzle, but in my opinion, it needed done a long time ago. It's hard to build anything these days. I've said before, you probably couldn't build a dam that created Deep Creek Lake with the attitudes that are out there now. So, that's all.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Senator Edwards' 1123 bill, the regulation of animals enforcement, will be heard next week by Senate committee. The bill is really, it's plainly written, but I'm not sure what it really
entails.
Could you explain it a little further and say explain how this might affect the Humane Society's work?
Kevin?
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, the what the bill does is give the Sheriff's Department the ability to
enforce animal control, the animal control ordinance, which right now is just the animal control, the county's animal control.
Cattle.
Right. It has no impact on Humane Society whatsoever.
Okay.
It's just county.
And will that involve like large animals or?
No, just domestic animals. The only thing the county has authority over, investigative authority over, is domestic animals.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Cats and dogs. And
okay.
Right now, the Humane Society bylaw has responsibility for farm animals and exotics.
All right. Thank you.
Jim.
I just one question about the opioid litigation. When you talk about seeking compensation and there's no amount listed in the statement, how do you determine what would be a fair amount of compensation for, you know, what the pharmaceutical companies have allegedly done in this case?
I think, and I don't want to speak for Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd, but in my conversations with Allegheny County on that same topic, I think that'll depend on the community, crime rates, hospitalization, anything that took money from the public coffers to pay.
Narcan,
yeah, that'd be a good one. Anything that, you know, took money from the public coffers to fight the scourge of the opioids, whether it be the public schools, the sheriff's department, EMS, treatment, that type of stuff. For Garrett County, that's probably going to look different than Montgomery County, who's our partner in this, because obviously they're going to have a larger cost. And it's probably going to look different from area to area as you look nationwide. I think some of those communities in West Virginia probably have a very good case with a lot of evidence to show what happened there. So I don't know how to answer that, Jim, in any definitive term, because I'm not sure exactly what their thought process is, although this is something that really very popular in the state of Maryland right now, that I think you're going to see this nationwide really, really take off.
I just thought, you know, when you come to an amount, you know, the lawyers will have to come up with something. Yeah. And of course, and they're not going to say, well, it's whatever the court deems appropriate. Yeah. It'll be something.
I think it'll be based off of those indicators.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll have, you know, obviously this is something that's a national, it's big time national news. We'll try to keep you posted as things progress and keep everybody up to date.
This may end up being something like the asbestos fund that they had before it's all over with.
Mm-hmm.
Or tobacco.
Right. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you all very much.